Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
How many of you have been around a while remember Brother Thomas mentioning from time to time that God is a lot more interested in working in us than through us? Because if he works sufficiently in us, then what is done through us will be him and not us. So much of what we do is just us. This is what God wants me to do. I'm going to go do it. I'll tell you, I need him to change my heart and my life. I need him to bring me into such a union with him that, like Jesus, I won't do anything except what the Father shows me. And my place is not to be doing stuff for God. My place is to be allowing Christ to do something through me. And so we have these people here. And I thought about the first church. And I thought about how God called people on the day of Pentecost. You know, that was the launch of God's kingdom in the earth, in the real sense. That was the launch of the eternal kingdom. That was when Christ came to live. You know, I started out this weekend thinking about the coming of Christ and thinking about, you know, it's time to really begin to talk about that and being ready and being all of that. And then I got to thinking about, you know, there's two comings of Christ. How many of you know that? And some people think, oh yeah, in the future he's going to come 2 or 3 times. No, I'm talking about the first coming that he talked about was on the day of Pentecost. He talked to his disciples and says, I'm going away, but it's good for you that I go away because I'm going to come back. And my Father and I will come and live in you. We're going to take up our, we're going to make you our home. Wow. I mean, how many people in the religious world today can say that? I believe, thank God for everyone who can. Thank God for the remnant. We're not alone. But I'll tell you what, there's more to being a church than just having a tradition, an organization, and a program, and a building, and all those kinds of things. We need to be the home of the eternal God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, he came, didn't he? He came and he lives in the hearts of his people, and that message continues to go out today. That's what it means to be the people of God. But you know, when he came in, he brought his life with him, didn't he? And so you and I who know him have that life in us. And his hunger, his desire is that that life should begin to grow up and find greater and greater expression in us. And I started to say that Paul spends so many of his letters talking about laying this foundation, who we are, what he's done. But always there is a therefore now. You need to be able to step out and live that out. Live like it's true. You know, I used the word act on Sunday, or on Wednesday night, and I didn't mean it in the sense of pretense. I think you know that. But we need to have the mentality, this is the truth, and this is what I'm going by. How many of you, right now, you're thinking about something, and the devil's kind of, yeah, but, you know, bringing doubtful thoughts? Anybody here, the devil bringing doubtful thoughts to your mind right now? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, we're going to have to learn how to rise up and recognize, devil, you are a liar. This is not about me. This is not about who I am. I'll tell you, I can be the worst of the worst, and we have a God who's faithful. I started to talk about the day of Pentecost and how God arranged for his people to be together and for a huge representation of the Jewish world, because the gospel first went to them, didn't it? And I'll drop this in. Brother Thomas used to make this point, and he's exactly right. How many of you know where this took place, where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place? Oh, the upper room. No, it didn't. It's easy to see that it did not happen in the upper room, despite the song we sang. That's all right. And the tradition about that. This took place in the temple. How do you know that? Read the last verses of Luke. Luke and Acts were, you know, part 1 and part 2 of the story of Jesus and the story of the early church. At the very end of that, it talks about how they were daily in the temple, right? After Jesus said, wait for the coming of the Spirit, they were daily in the temple. The morning of Pentecost was one of the major Jewish feasts of the year. Everybody was gathered from, 17 different nations, because that's how many languages they spoke. And they were all gathered there at the temple to celebrate this. And the Lord came down right there in the middle of all that they were doing. And they're running together. Lord, what is this about? I don't get this. I hear all these people, they're praising God, but they're doing it. They're a bunch of Galilean fishermen, and they're talking all my language from way off there and from way off there. We hear, what's going on? They must be drunk. So anyway, Peter stands up, and that's when the Lord powerfully comes upon this man who had denied the Lord just a few weeks earlier. But now it's not just Peter. Jesus has come, and he has inhabited his church. And now it's time to give that message out with authority and power, and he did, and 3,000 people came to the Lord on that day. Now, do you think they were the special ones? In the natural sense? I mean, did it say, oh, yes, all the leading men, all the scholars, all of the rabbis, all the really important, capable people with strong will, they were the ones who gravitated to the message? It's exactly the opposite. They're the ones that have something to overcome, to humble themselves and to come to Christ. These were ordinary people. They were just people like you and like me. And yet when they came and believed the message, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you as well. His promise is to everybody and all that God's going to call afar off. And so 3,000 people believed. And I'll tell you, we had some transformed lives. How in the world could ordinary people who had no special spiritual qualifications suddenly come together with a spirit of love and unity and power and seeing God do the things that he did in their lives? You think that was because of their qualifications and their efforts? I'll tell you, I thank God for everything God's done among us. But do you suppose we got a little room to grow? Do you suppose we've maybe allowed some of those chains to hang around? And I sense that God is wanting to give me a greater sense of faith to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to just accept this and go on and think, well, all I have to do is just, do what we've done. This is good enough. And there was an old recipe by a cookie company. One of these sayings that they had. And the expression was, good enough never is. And that was their corporate slogan, I guess, is the word you'd want to use. But I'll tell you, God help us to realize that good enough never is. God doesn't want his people to simply sleep and stagnate and feel like we can come together and practice our religion and we're comfortable, we know how it works, we know what to do, and we know not to get too rambunctious, and with the 1,001 different little prison bars that we erect that to us feel right and comfortable, but all they're doing is shutting God out and saying, God, you can't do anything new. I'm going to stay where I'm at. Yeah, I'll work on this little bad part of my character. I'll work on that one. But I mean, things are basically, we basically got it. We got it. Folks, we need him. And I guess the burden of my heart is that God will help us to recognize that there's so much more that he wants to give us. But instead of saying, but, we'll start saying, Lord, help me to overcome my unbelief. God honors that. How many of you remember the man who came up and Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes? And he said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. God's not looking for perfect faith. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for ordinary people like the Corinthians who come out of heathen darkness. And yet God said, you're my church, you're my people. Now let me teach you how to live that out and how to grow. And the same Lord who called all those people on the day of Pentecost. I know we sit here and we say this. They were people like us, but we don't believe it. There's this reserve, this built-in unconscious reserve in every one of our minds. Yeah, that was good for them. That's wonderful what they're doing over there, but I'm just me, and that's all there is to it. God wants to break those chains. We have to rise up and say, wait a minute, Lord, you said, I'm going to cry out to you until you change this situation. I'm going to cry out to you, change me. Till you make me able to be the kind of person you want me to be. I'll tell you, God is taking people from every kind of background. Right here, we got people from every background you can think of, it seems like. And yet God has brought us together and given us a great degree of love and unity among us. Thank God, that's Him. Not any person here that can take that can stick their chest out and say, look at us, look at how great we are. We are nothing. Jesus is Lord. He is the head, He is the message, and He is the life. If we have anything at all, Jesus, Christ is all. We said that a couple of weeks ago and emphasized that particular scripture. There's one thing that did come to me, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a point that's been made many times, but it fits in particularly right here. This is where Paul is talking about the exercise of the spiritual gifts. And it's not particularly that I'm interested in the gifts themselves and all of that, other than the fact that he does make the point where we're all different. So one of the devil's tricks is to say, you're not like them, therefore, God made every one of us totally unique, and we need to just say, thank God. I don't have to try to be like somebody else. I don't have to listen to that stupid voice that says, if only, if I were smarter, if I were better looking, if I had a better, stronger will, if I had been born to the right family, if I had 1,001 things, God put you where you're at because He has a plan for your life. It's unfolding in His purpose. And if we will trust Him and look to Him, He will make you what He wants you to be in all eternity. And we'll look back and we'll say, praise God, you did know what you were doing after all. But oh, we need to know that now so that we can stop listening to those voices. But he says this in verse 12, the body, this is where he talks about our being the body of Christ. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. And I know many of you can remember Brother Thomas often making this point. So often it is with Christ. What? What do you think of when you think of Christ? Well, yeah, I mean, we think of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know who He is. He's the one who was here, and now He's seated on a throne, figuratively speaking. But He's seated on a throne in heaven. He's reigning. That's who I mean when I say Christ. There's a different use that God has for the term Christ. How many of you know that if you have been born of the Spirit of God, I'm not talking about you became religious. I mean, you have been born of the Spirit of God. You are a part of Christ.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.